Hey there, Goblin here. I just wanted to give you a heads up that until recently, I've been uploading exclusively on YouTube. So head over there and check out my channel if you're interested in more content, as there are additional videos that don't get uploaded here as podcasts. Thanks for tuning in. Now, let's get started. Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Goblin Queen, and tonight we're going to read some firsthand paranormal experiences. Reddit is a pretty foreign place to me. I don't spend much time there, I just poke around from time to time, stumble there on a Google search. But in my poking around, I found some pretty interesting goblin sightings, and I'd like to share them with you now. So let's just jump right in. This first story is from the Humanoid Encounters subreddit and was submitted in 2018 by Young Hosa. I grew up in an old house in the south, kind of out in the middle of nowhere. The house was laid out somewhat circular, as you could walk from the living room through most other rooms just by walking in a complete circle and end up back where you started. When I was around 5, me and my younger sister were chasing each other in circles while my mom cooked dinner. I was in front of her and we were laughing and carrying on. When we got into the dining room, in the inside corner, there was a small greenish creature with a dark cloak on. It had pointy ears that stuck out and sharp teeth. I was young, but it was still very small, so I'd say it was maybe 2 feet in height. It looked kind of like it had been at the bottom of a pond or something. Very old and tattered. It put its finger to its lips and was grinning. I slammed to a stop and my sister was chasing so close, she ran right into me, which pushed us both around the corner into the kitchen. We both started screaming, and my mom ran to us to see what was the matter, but the thing was gone. This has haunted me for years. I'm 25 now, and although I've done tons of searching, I've never found anything that really fits what we saw. For a long time, I thought maybe I'd imagined it, and if it weren't for my sister also seeing it, or my mom remembering our very real terror, I probably would have just written it off. There were a lot of weird things happening in that house when I was young. Disembodied voices, things moving, super weird dreams. But that was obviously the weirdest and most unsettling. We still talk about it from time to time to this day, and it always makes us feel kind of yuck. Also, let me mention, this thing didn't look like a little man or a gnome or anything like that. It was more akin to a gremlin type, with no hair I could see and green skin. Alright, I gotta say, I love the description of this goblin. I know it'd be terrifying to experience, but I can't help but think it sounds really cute because it had a little cloak on. I also thought it was an interesting detail, though, that they said it had looked like it had been at the bottom of a pond. So I'm not sure if that's kind of a texture thing or color thing, but it's interesting. And it definitely adds validity to their story that they had other witnesses, because their sister saw it as well. Someone in the comments mentions that this creature reminded them of a duende, which is basically a goblin-like creature that exists in many Spanish-speaking and Latin cultures. We talked about it briefly in another video I did reading goblin stories. You can find that on my goblins playlist. It'll also be linked at the end of the video if you need help finding it. Anyway, the person who brought up the duende mentions that they had seen something similar, although it was white and not green. Their comment reads, I saw it from the corner of my eye, and when I looked properly, it smirked and disappeared. It was really odd. I was alone on a trail in the woods, coming from a cave my father was charting, and it was really scary. I tried to convince myself that it was something else. There is a big white flower that grows nearby, and I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me, but I came back during the day, and there were no flowers in that area. It was nearly 25 years ago, in a nature park in Brazil. Well, the forest is a perfect place to see a goblin or some other sort of fae creature, right? Quite a few people share similar experiences they had in the comments, and I'd like to read those for you as well. There's another one from a user called Lilu, who says, when I was 15, I'm 25 now, I had just moved to Florida with my mom and younger sister so that my mom could marry this guy. We were living in an efficiency apartment. We'd been there about a week, and it was New Year's Eve, so my mom and her guy had gotten a hotel room for some privacy. My sister and I were watching the pineapple drop, the Florida version of the ball dropping. I was laying on a futon pulled out into a bed, and my sister was laying on the small couch perpendicular to the futon. She had fallen asleep, and the festivities were over, so I muted the TV, but left it on for the light. I was nervous being by ourselves in a new state. I was just laying there trying to fall asleep when I heard a giggle from underneath the futon. I looked over to my sister and even reached over and shook her to see if she was messing with me. She was still sound asleep. It took me a few minutes, but I finally got the courage to lean over the futon and look underneath. It was dark, so I couldn't see much, but I saw two beady little eyes and a big pointy grin. I immediately popped my head back up and grabbed my cell phone to use the screen for light and looked under the futon again, but it was gone. There was absolutely nothing under there, so there wasn't any chance of me mistaking something else for a creature in my fear. We moved out of that place and into an actual house within the week, so I never saw or heard it again. Now, we're all familiar with things lurking under the bed, but under the futon, this is new. This is unprecedented. Pretty brave of them to go in for a second look with their cell phone. And perhaps it's for the best, they didn't get a better look. The next experience shared in the comments is from Toy Beaver. They write, I'm currently 34. This story takes place when I was around the age of 5, give or take. I was going to church with a neighbor, Matt. He was my only friend at the time because I had yet to start school, so going with him was a way to hang out. This particular day we were playing outside, and it was midday in summer, and we were running around the church. On the sides, however, are grates in the ground, with ditches probably 3 feet deep. As to their function, my guess now is to let light into the basement area. As we are prowling around the building and peering into the grate-covered holes, we see what I can best describe as a troll. It had a huge reddish-color nose, nasty green skin, and frayed brown hair. It was hideous. Needless to say, we booked it out of there, yelling and telling the adults to no avail, and I never went back to that church again. Even after I got older, I never rode my bike down that road. Not a goblin sighting, but a troll sighting. You don't get to hear about too many of those. Someone asks the author of this experience if they thought the troll saw them, to which they replied, it definitely saw us, and as we looked down the grated hole, it was looking up at us. Ooh, spooky. Rhetorical Oracle wrote, I saw something like that too. I was pregnant, so this was probably 9 years ago. I was leaving the bathroom and stepped into the hallway. There were two bedrooms on either end, but our bedroom was to the left. I first saw it in my peripheral vision. It was peering out from under my bed, smiling. It had a little round head, sort of a pale greenish-gray skin, and what looked like pointed teeth. I did a double take at it and kept moving. It never moved, just looked up at me, grinning. I would describe it as an imp or golem from Lord of the Rings. I've had other paranormal experiences, but I've never seen anything like that again. It's something I'm hesitant to talk about because it's so out there, and I try to rationalize to myself, well, maybe it's tied to my pregnancy, the fluctuation of hormones, or the fact that we had just went to see Paranormal Activity at the theater. But the simple fact that I saw it on the corner of my eye, I looked directly at it, looked away, and it was still there peering from underneath my bed. I can't explain it away. And it's almost a relief that someone else has had a similar experience. It seems that everyone in this thread who shared their experiences find comfort in seeing that there are other people who had similar encounters and relate to each other in the emotions that come from this experience, such as frustration at not knowing exactly what it is they saw and hesitancy to share their story with people for fear of disbelief. The person who shared the troll story expressed the same thing, saying, I still toss it around in my mind to this day, as I'm very skeptical about most things. It really bugs me not knowing what we saw, never seeing anything like it again, and also not having a tangible thing to relate it to. The original poster also picks up on the fact that all the entities in these stories are found to be grinning, almost as if they delight in being seen. Goblins are known to be mischievous, after all. The author does elaborate on some of the other paranormal experiences they had in their house, which is something I was curious about, so I'm glad they did. Most notably that they often heard disembodied voices. They write, My room was upstairs, and during the summer, we'd stay up super late watching TV before turning in around 2 a.m. or so. My parents' room was upstairs next to mine, and quite frequently, I'd lay down and suddenly hear what sounded like multiple people laughing and carrying on downstairs. I'd have to get up and make sure I hadn't left the TV on. But as soon as I got down there, it would stop. Eventually, I stopped checking. I used to hear my parents call my name from upstairs late at night, too. I would run over to the staircase and yell, "Did you call me?" To which my annoyed and groggy parents would always reply, "No." Looking back on the house now, and what a chicken I am at 25, I'm not sure how I did it. I don't think I could stand it now. I think that's actually a really interesting point that they make at the end, and it sort of brings up a paradox or a contradiction when it comes to children and their relationship with fear. We may think of children as scary more easily, but in many ways, they're also more tolerant, or maybe just accepting of frightening situations. Or perhaps it's that they're more resilient because they don't really have the resources to deal with anything if there is something going on. I'm not really sure how to properly put that into words. I just thought it was interesting to think about how we'll accept strange or scary situations as children that as adults we, in their words, wouldn't be able to stand. I actually remember having a similar experience to them about these disembodied voices. In one apartment that I stayed in when I was a kid, when I would lay in bed, waiting to fall asleep, I would sometimes hear what sounded like a soft conversation between two people and some music playing coming from the floor above me. And it had that muffled quality, you know, like it was coming from another room or another floor. It was almost too quiet to hear, and I would have to sort of strain my ears to hear it. But at the same time, I unmistakably heard it. It's not like I could make out words or anything. I could just hear the sound of voices and music. And this happened on more than one occasion. So the simple answer seems that I was in an apartment and it was just the people upstairs chatting and listening to music, except that we were on the top floor. Anyway, that's all I have to say about this particular thread. I hope you all found that to be as interesting as I did, because we're just getting started. So let's keep moving. Speaking of Duende, this one is called Encounter with El Duende, and it's from the Paranormal subreddit, posted in 2020. Full disclosure, this is just a throwaway account. I'm very hesitant to talk about this. It's true, they made this account just to make this post and then never use it again. My wife and I are both college-educated professionals. Other than this one time that I'm about to describe, we've never experienced anything that would qualify as paranormal. We've never seen ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, etc. The reason why I'm posting this is because I am genuinely looking for any information on what we saw. At the time, about 12 years ago, we lived in northeastern Arizona in southern Apache County, close to the Navajo Nation. We had no kids at the time and would typically go out to dinner after work on Friday nights. We would drive about an hour to a neighboring town as our very small town had very few good restaurants. As we were driving back around 9 or 10 p.m., my wife was behind the wheel and we were both watching out for animals. It wasn't uncommon to see deer, antelope, and jackrabbits, which could damage our truck if hit. We'd also often see rats, mice, and prairie dogs too. So, as we're going along, all of a sudden this small, about 18 inches tall, bipedal creature goes running out in front of us. It ran from one side of the road to the other and disappeared into the cedar trees that are typical along the main highway we were traveling. The most messed up part was that the thing was wearing clothes. It was dressed in a robe and had a pointy hat. We can't really remember the colors of the clothes, but we both agree that the hat was red. It did not look cute or friendly, more like the stuff of nightmares. Its skin was a dark brown or dark gray. Its face looked monstrous and was grimacing. I had the impression that it was very distressed and seemed to be running away from something or someone. It seemed oblivious to us and our truck. I looked over at my wife, who neither hit the brakes nor swerved whatsoever, and she's just looking straight ahead at the road. I seriously thought I had just had a hallucination. Not because I've had one before, but because I can't believe what I just saw. So I said, "Did you see that?" To which she quietly replied, "Yeah." In order to confirm my own sanity, I needed to hear her say what she saw first. I then said, "What did you see?" She said, "Like a little person with a wizard hat on?" I honestly wouldn't have believed my own eyes or memory if she hadn't seen it too. She's also said that if I hadn't seen it, she would have completely shut it out of her mind and would have long forgotten it by now. We've talked about it several times since then and are still dumbfounded on what it was. I've done some research and it's hard to glean any information because people all around the world have claimed to see small humanoid creatures for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. The variations are all over the place. This thing wasn't like the friendly-looking garden gnomes that people have in their yards. I hope to never see one again, and I sure wouldn't go looking for one. My wife once described it as a little demon. I chose to call it El Duende, as that seemed appropriate for our region. Okay, I'm seriously not trying to downplay people's experiences, but why are all these goblins dressed so cute? I mean, this one's dressed like a wizard. The author of this story asks if anyone has had any experience with similar creatures, and just like the last story we read, people sound off in the comments with their own sightings. One person seems to have had a very similar experience. They wrote, "I started getting goosebumps when I read Robe and Pointy Hat. I saw the same creature once on the side of the road, in the same clothing as yours, but all gray or brown. Thankfully, I couldn't see its face, but I did not get positive feelings from it. I wish I could help you identify yours, but I'm not sure what I saw either. What are these little wizard goblins doing hanging out on the roadsides?" Another commenter agrees that they believe that this could be a duende, and even mentions that duende are known to wear little robes and hats. There's actually a painting by Spanish artist Francisco Goya called Duendecitos that depicts several small misshapen human-like beings, one of which is wearing a cloak with a conical hood. The original poster references this image in the comment section of their story and says that this painting is the closest visual match they have found to what they saw. A comment from a user named CHRZ1 says that there are many stories about duendes in Mexican culture and that both parents of theirs had brief duende sightings. They go on to say, "As far as I've heard, duende are like leprechauns, and they're somewhat connected to children. They're known to live inside the walls of young children's rooms, which would explain why they were in my room when I was younger. They're known to be mischievous and live in or possess houses. Some cultures refer to them as the helpers of people, mostly helping people in forests. It's easy to hear stories and descriptions of duende and compare them to creatures in the folklore of other regions. That person even mentioned leprechauns, and the comment about them living in houses and helping people makes me think of brownies. The point is, similar creatures exist in various cultures and are called different names. There's probably a goblin in nearly every culture. Goblin is just the word English-speaking Westerners have used to identify this particular type of creature." A comment from Crystal Quetzal reiterates this and shares a little story. "Native American tribes call these things little people. Europeans call them fairy, elves, leprechauns, etc. They certainly seem prevalent around the world. I have never seen one, but my mom claims she has. She was a child at the time and lived in a house with a big backyard with a tree in it. She said that sometimes when she played out there, she would see a tiny man peek out from the tree and smile evilly at her. She had only seen it a couple times, and she didn't think it was human due to its absurdly small size. This particular encounter happened in Michigan, and once again, the evil grin or sneer returns." Another commenter gives us yet another cultural example of a goblin. They write, "Here in Argentina and Paraguay, the Guaranis, an ancient tribal people that still live in the rainforest, have a legend of a little dark-skinned creature, really like the one you and your wife saw, called Pombero. The legend passed from generations, but there are very few people that really believe it. The modern version of the story tells that if you're going to take a walk through the forest, you have to take a cigarette with you. It seems that the Pombero likes them, and if you give it one, he may leave you alone. It's a pretty hard-to-believe story. But when I read yours, and if we consider that both happened literally in the opposite sides of the continent, it makes you wonder if the legend is based in something that the Native Americans really saw. Also, my brother-in-law once told us that he saw a little bipedal creature. We really didn't know what to believe, because he is a man who likes to tell stories. But one thing I can say is that when he was explaining to us what happened, he looked really, really disturbed." Finally, a user named Badass Nun said, "My sister and I had an encounter in northern Maine with a similar being. We were in the birch forest near our home, a really beautiful place. We heard a noise and looked to our right. A small, ugly man in rough clothes was looking at us. We ran as fast as we could back home. She has never brought it up again. Perhaps she doesn't remember. I'm pretty sure it was a leprechaun. Many of these stories do seem to take place near forests or trees. And again, such is a very common place to experience a sighting like this. Another common place for supernatural encounters to take place is one's home, laying in bed at night. Such is the case for the next story. This one is also from the paranormal subreddit. I've had a few strange things happen to me during my years, and I will get around to writing about them eventually, but the first one I remember was the visit from two goblins. Now, I know you're going to say, oh, you were only a kid, or you must have been semi-awake and still dreaming, but this has stayed with me for more than 50 years, and I can still see these creatures in my mind as clear as when it first happened. I was about 5 or 6 at the time, and we lived in a Victorian terraced house. My older sister and I shared the back bedroom, with our parents having the front one. My bed was in the corner, furthest from and parallel to the rear-facing window, with my sister's bed just on the other side of our shared bedside table. My habit was to sleep with my back to the wall so I could pretty much see the whole room in one view. On the night in question, I awoke to see what I still vividly remember as an imp, goblin, gargoyle-type figure clinging to the wall near the ceiling and heading toward the far corner. As most kids would do, I pulled the bedclothes over my head and pretended to be asleep, whilst still unable to take my eyes off this thing through the tiny gap I'd left. It could have been no bigger than 10 inches tall, and moved in a jerky manner, often stopping to look around and then continuing to skitter along, repeating this pattern, moving maybe a few inches in one movement. It seemed to have no difficulty supporting itself by clinging to the wallpaper with its claws. I remember thinking that it looked as if it were lit by moonlight from the window, but we had curtains that were always drawn closed at night. Grayish with sharply defined detail, its skin was like one of those hairless cats, although I never knew they even existed at the time. Stretched over its bones, smooth but supple and slightly baggy at the same time. It had no wings that I could see. It had big pointed ears, large eyebrows and eyes. As it got nearer to the corner, and then around onto the wall with the window, I then noticed a second creature on the opposite side of the wall from the first. This, too, was jerking its head around shiftily, as if on lookout for anything coming. As the two things met up on either side of the top of the window frame, the second one pushed down on the top section of the window with its rear leg or foot and slid it down a few inches, wide enough for them to climb out. With one last scan over their shoulders and the room in general, they both climbed out and slid the window closed from the outside. They then both disappeared from view, I suppose up and over the guttering and onto the roof. I lay awake for a long time, for fear that they would come back, but I must have fallen asleep eventually. The next morning, I debated whether to mention what had happened to my parents, but chose to keep it to myself, for fear of ridicule. So I just pushed it to the back of my mind, chalking it up as a bad dream. For many, many years, I kept this to myself. But a couple of years back, I was visiting my sister and recounted my experience during mutual reminiscences of our early childhood home to finally unburden myself of the secret. When I'd finished, she just said, oh yes, them, with the emphasis on them, as if she knew about them, but that they were something that shouldn't be talked about. She wouldn't go into any further detail or answer the questions that came into my head and waved it away with a sudden change of subject. Whether or not she had seen the same things that same night or had her own experience with them is still unclear. I certainly never saw them again after that night, and our parents moved us to a newer home across the other side of the city soon after. What they were, why they were in our room that night, I will never know, but they were sneaking around for some reason. Perhaps my awakening forced them to make a hasty exit and give up whatever they were intending to do. I do hope so. I know I sound like a broken record, but once again, I was struck by the appearance of the creatures in the story. They're just all so interesting looking. I guess that's one of the most intriguing parts about these stories, right? Is the otherworldly and inhuman appearance of these strange beings. This would be a terrifying experience for anyone, a child especially. One person in the comments says that these creatures remind them of brownies, a type of fairy that's like a small humanoid, usually has brown skin, and they're known for helping with household chores and tasks. And they also say that they wish they had seen what this author saw, to which the author replies, "I would gladly give you this memory. Be careful what you wish for." The majority of supernatural experiences take place whilst people are in bed, often as they are about to fall asleep or just after they've woken up. And there's many theories we could throw around as to why that happens. But whatever the reason, it's an undeniably creepy time and place to witness a paranormal event. You're at one of your most vulnerable states and totally unprepared for something so out of the ordinary to happen. Several other people share their experiences of goblin bedroom visitations. A comment from Sephora Moon says, "I am so glad you posted this. Let me tell you that you are not the only one to have seen these. I lived in a very haunted home as a child, and both my sister and I saw what I have been calling gnomes or dwarves when retelling the events. They used to watch us while we slept, and they would peer into the room and giggle, whisper, and quietly talk amongst themselves in a language we could not understand. A language that included clicking noises. She and I never discussed seeing them at the time. However, 10 years later, during a discussion of our supernatural experiences, my sister almost turned white when I started to describe my experiences with them. When I tried to mimic the noises they used to make, she almost broke into tears. She was so terrified. Your description of them is very close to what I saw. They usually came in a few at a time. They were all dressed uniquely. There seemed to be a leader, and I remember him the most. He had a large, bumpy nose, pointed ears, wrinkled and thick textured skin on his face, and deep-set large eyes. His clothing was interesting, and reminds me now of traditional German lederhosen. The most striking feature, though, was the hooved feet. He had human-type hands, but hooved feet. They never came close to us, and remained at the doorframe and would poke their heads around the frame of the door. This is an experience I do not share often, since it is so different from the typical ghost experience. I think people just automatically assume it's your imagination. I might have believed that as well if my sister hadn't also seen them. I think these creatures became myth in human culture, but they actually do exist. My theory is that they are interdimensional beings. I do not believe they are malicious. I always sensed that they were curious and mischievous, although it was frightening since we did not know what they were. We were never threatened by them directly. Well, add another one to the list of interesting appearances. We have hooved gnome goblin creatures now. It just gets more and more interesting, doesn't it? You do have to wonder why so many people have these experiences, and while it's more common for children to have them, adults do as well. A particularly creepy comment comes from Ridian Marai, who said, "My mom once told me about how when I was an infant, she woke up one night to all these little creatures at the bottom of her bed and just knew they were there for me, and they felt malevolent to her. It wasn't until recently she told me that there were multiple other times, though I only remember the one time when I was maybe 7 or 8 and woke up with all the lights on and her clutching at me." While we're on the subject, I found another brief bedtime encounter someone had, also from the paranormal subreddit. This happened to me about 3 years ago, but it still freaks me out. I was laying down in my bed, about to go to sleep, when all of a sudden I heard my name being screamed. Naturally, I jump up and I see this little creature at the foot of my bed scurry off. It was maybe 2 feet tall, maybe less, because my mattress was on the ground. It was naked, and it had big pointy ears. I had my LEDs on so I could see it clearly for a second before it ran off. I was about to sleep, but I swear I was awake, and I can still hear the way it screamed my name. They elaborate in the comments that the voice sounded like a shrill woman's scream. Pretty terrifying. More details they give on the creature's appearance are that it had light gray skin, its head was very small compared to its ears, and I think it was kind of wrinkly. I only saw the back of it, and honestly, I'm glad I didn't see its face. Alright, so we're going to read another story from the Humanoid Encounters Reddit. This person writes, "Hey everyone, first time poster here. I've always been a firm believer in the paranormal and have had my fair share of strange occurrences / encounters. I'm quite curious to know if anyone has had a similar experience to mine and figured this subreddit would be perfect. This was a very early childhood memory. I can't recall my exact age at the time, but I'd estimate that I was around 5 to 7 years old. Unfortunately, I can only recount a small, specific point in the story, but nonetheless, this is what happened. I was in my parents' bedroom, crying in fear, as I witnessed what appeared to be a very short, malicious-looking, fair-skinned goblin wearing a pointed red cap. It simply stood on the end of the bed, laughing maniacally at me. My mother was trying to calm me down and had no idea why I was so hysterical, since she couldn't see or hear anything. So, seemingly, only I was able to see this entity. That's all I can remember, sadly. I have absolutely no recollection of what happened after that, and never saw this being again. So the original poster, the author of the story, mentions a subgenre, if you will, of goblins or fairies called red caps, and says that these beings are pretty close to what they actually saw. In particular, an illustration done by Brian Froud, one of my favorite artists of all time, and I'm sure you're familiar with his work if you've seen The Dark Crystal or Labyrinth, but he also has many books of beautiful illustrations of fairies. So the author is referencing a drawing that Brian Froud did of a red cap. If you want to see that drawing, you can just Google red cap Brian Froud, F-R-O-U-D, and you'll see exactly what they're talking about. This is from a book called Fairies, an excellent book. You can look at it for free on thearchive.org if you want. I highly recommend it. So, they say that this drawing is very similar to what they saw, although there's some slight differences. They say the head of the creature that they saw was a bit larger than the body, and the red cap in this drawing is holding a weapon. It seems to be some sort of pike or something of that nature. And so, that's all they say. They say that the appearance is similar to what they saw. They don't say that any other qualities of red caps are similar to this being, which is probably a good thing, because these are known to be particularly malicious. Let me read just a little description of them from folklorist Catherine Mary Briggs' Dictionary of Fairies. One of the most malignant of old border goblins, Redcap lived in old ruined peel towers and castles where wicked deeds had been done, and delighted to redye his red cap in human blood. William Henderson gives a full account of him in Folklore of the Northern Counties. He described him as a short, thick-set old man with long, prominent teeth, skinny fingers armed with talons like eagles, large eyes of a fiery red color, grizzly hair streaming down his shoulders, iron boots, a pike staff in his left hand, and a red cap on his head. So, yeah, these goblins in particular, red caps, they like to hang about places where evil deeds have been done, murders have occurred. Battlefields are also a good place to find them, lurking about. And they do like to keep this red color of their cap fresh and bright, and they do so by dipping it in human blood. Pretty spooky stuff. They're a favorite of mine, just because, I don't know, they're so sinister and interesting. And I, too, was struck by the Brian Froud illustration when I first saw it. That could be a reason that it's one of my favorites. It's a very striking picture, and yeah, just thinking of these creepy, murderous goblins wandering around with their pike staff. Pretty spooky stuff. Now, let's read a few comments. One person wrote that their mother always swore she saw one of these crouched on her dresser as a kid. And another person says, I'm from Colombia, and like a lot of South Americans have said before, we kind of see things down here every now and then. I guess by see things, they mean goblins. They go on, when I was a boy, my grandpa used to have a ranch that has a lot of supernatural occurrences, from little lights that appeared on a small island by the river at night, fairies, if you were to believe my grandpa, all the way to a giant sighting that my grandfather used to tell us about when he was young, and things used to be dangerous in the countryside of Colombia. And what I remember the most was that I saw Duende, kind of what you described, but roughly the same size as a cat. I was climbing a tree, and when I reached a branch, I caught onto it by mistake. It stood there watching me and looked almost as afraid as I was. Then it bit my hand, and I screamed and let go. I fell and had to get stitches between my fingers, as it was a deep cut. I never saw it again, but I still have the scar from the bite 30 years later. Well, that's the first account we have of someone actually being attacked or bitten by a goblin. And this ranch that they mention sounds really intriguing. I can't help but wonder about some of these stories that they bring up. And luckily, the OP of this story asks if they mind telling the giant story. And lucky for us, they reply. They say, "The giant story is a weird one. And as I said before, it was one my grandpa told me. When he was young, maybe 30-something, he was all alone on the ranch one day. By nightfall, he heard that something hit the door of the house, hard enough to open the door a little. And then he heard a voice that frightened the crap out of him and asked, 'Is there anybody home?' My grandpa was no coward, so he opened a small window that was installed in the door to see who was outside without opening the door. All he saw was a human eye, one huge human eye bigger than his head. He went pale and freaked out and answered with a small, 'May I help you?' He thought he was screwed. If something that big wanted to be inside, he wouldn't be able to stop it. Then the thunderous voice says, 'May I ask your permission to sleep by the tree, by the entrance to the ranch? It's been a long day and a long walk, and I'm still far from where I need to go. May I sleep by the tree?' The said tree is still standing today. It's a huge mango tree, the same one I got bitten in. So my grandfather answers, 'Sure, you can sleep by it, but please protect my home while you are here.' The giant said he would. He began to walk to the entrance of the ranch. He put his back against the tree. The tree seemed like a little hedge by his side. He began to unpack something from a belt pouch, and my grandpa closed the window and went to sleep. At 2 a.m, he heard gunfire, a lot of it, and a few screams. He did what was best and stood inside the house, with a hunting rifle in his hand, and waited for sunrise. A small history lesson. Here in Colombia, we had a time we just called the violence, where armed groups would go to people's lands and force them to sell them for less than nothing, or kill them and take them by force. Not a pretty time, but it happened. By morning lights, my grandfather opened the door and went to the tree where he heard the gunshots. He saw 4 bodies on the ground with their bones broken as if a boulder fell on them. It was a horrible sight, and you can find records of the bodies in the town's reports. The official version was that an explosive device backfired and had killed them. My grandpa said they weren't burned, just smashed. The giant had held up his side of the deal and maybe saved his life. He never saw it again." What an incredible story. And fascinating and certainly significant that the tree that the giant slept under was also the same tree where this person was bitten by the goblin. Something about this mango tree. Alright, one more comment I'll read. It says, "I live in Mexico, and in the house where we used to live, we had a very large garden around the right side of the house, like a private forest with a little pond on one side. And for those who don't know, in Mexico there's a lot of paranormal stuff happening because there's loads of nature, old buildings, and history everywhere. A lot of people here believe in duendes, fairies, etc. So that garden, which had been there when the house was built, was always growing flowers, but we never really maintained it, besides sometimes hiring someone to cut the grass. But it always grew different flowers. There was often little trinkets lying around the grass, like random keys that no one had seen before, or buttons, one earring, coins, shiny chocolate wrappers, etc. I once found a little green hat, like the one you mentioned in your story, in my room under my bed, and it freaked me out, but I put it on a rock next to the pond. The next morning I checked, and it was gone. Everyone's bedrooms were upstairs, but we often heard things moving downstairs. In the kitchen, we would find food opened in the pantry, and sometimes little footprints coming from the garden into the house. It scared us the first couple of years, but then one of our neighbors who was friends with my grandmother was visiting, and told us that the duendes live there, and they're not bad ones. They're a little mischievous, but they don't want to hurt us. She advised we should leave food for them outside, and they would leave us alone, so we did, and we stopped seeing the footprints. Sometimes we saw them moving around from the corner of our eyes, in the high shelves or on the counters, but we left them be. Visitors would often comment on it, like they felt someone pull their hair, or they saw someone running in the corner of the room. We would explain, and that scared them. Sometimes we would find money in our pockets. But one thing is for sure, they have a very scary laugh. I just love hearing accounts from all over the world, from different cultures, because I grew up reading Brian Froud books and associating goblins with folklore of the British Isles. But really, like we said earlier, it occurs in almost every culture. It's just a different name, but physical descriptions are similar, behaviors are similar, creepy smiles and laughs are similar. It's just fascinating. And sure, you know, maybe some people think that, and it could be, we don't know for sure, that they are just folktales that exist from place to place, but you do have to wonder why all the characteristics are so similar from culture to culture. Not to mention that so many people report firsthand sightings. Let me read one more story, and we'll return to the Humanoid Encounters subreddit for this one. This particular occurrence happened back in March of 1991. It was a Saturday night, and I had just gotten home in time for my 11 p.m. curfew. I was a month shy of 14, and was surprised to see my father on the couch, catching up on a stack of newspapers, as I was expecting him to be working overtime. I sat on the couch with him and shot the breeze while the Arsenio Hall show was on TV. After catching up, we turned our attention to the TV, and that's when I saw it. Off to the right of the couch where we were sitting, I see in my periphery this thing tiptoeing about 6 feet from me by the fireplace towards the door. Just as it was about to go out of view from where I was sitting, I turned my head just in time to see the backside of this creature. It stood about 18 inches tall, was bipedal, and had a humanoid build with the exception of its legs being articulated as if a four-legged animal was walking on its hind legs only. Its arms swayed as it walked like any humans would, and was covered head to toe in a very short, shiny coat of brownish hair. It was not clothed and had no tail. I only caught full sight of it for around a second, just before it went out of view. I did not clearly see its face as it was walking away from us, though when I initially caught it in the corner of my eye, I was under the impression it didn't have a snout or muzzle closer to a human's face. The one thing that stood out was that it seemed like it was sneaking, not scurrying, but deliberately tiptoeing, like it didn't want to be seen or heard. I'm sitting there a second more, trying to process what I had just witnessed, when I turned to my left to bring this to my father's attention, only to see him staring in the exact spot where the goblin had turned the corner, slack-jawed and wide-eyed in disbelief. I asked if he saw it, and he just mumbles, what was that? A rat? All I could say is, rats don't walk on two back legs. At this point, he grabs his maglite and we proceeded to lift, pull, flip over furniture, trying to find it, or at least evidence of it. We checked the chimney flue in the fireplace, which was closed. All of the doors and windows locked. No holes in the walls. Nothing. Nowhere for it to get in or out. A furry little goblin. I could see by the description of the being how the author's father may have given the assumption that this creature was a rat. But, as the author of course points out, rats don't walk on 2 feet. It sounds as though the being had the type of legs you would see on a flamingo or the hind legs of a dog, which almost appear like backwards knees. They aren't, really. They're actually just the ankle joints, and the knee is much higher and closer to the body and usually concealed by feathers or fur. One of my very first videos I did was reading stories where people saw creatures with backwards knees. Seeing that feature on a little being tends to send alarm bells off in our heads that say, that's not human, and that's not natural. Let me read two brief comments before we conclude for the night. One person writes, I saw something one time standing in my bedroom door. It was about 3 feet tall, had a pointy hat. Kind of chunky. Looks like an old lady. Had on what looked like old burlap clothes. Wrinkly skin. I looked up, saw it, rolled over, and went to sleep. Interesting reaction. Don't think that's what I'd do in this scenario, but hey, I guess they really had to get their 8 hours that night. They go on. It looked like a garden troll. I remember my mom saying we had them and they would come to the house at night. I thought she was full of shit. Guess they wanted me to believe. That's a little terrifying, but honestly the type of mom I would be as well. So, and the pointy head comes up again. In the stories we read earlier, witnesses described this as a wizard hat. But of course, many classic depictions of gnomes have pointed conical hats. It's a style very recurrent in fairy fashions. Another comment says, "For what it's worth, I have a coworker who saw something like this crossing the road once and told me about it because he knew that I find these sort of things interesting. It was, however, skipping, according to him, in the middle of the night on a country road in the middle of nowhere, which is spooky, but less weird than the couch goblin you saw." So this story, too, is another callback. It's a bit similar to the ones we read earlier about the goblins crossing in front of cars and on dark roads. At this rate, it's a wonder we don't see any goblin roadkill. The skipping is an interesting and adorable detail. It's amazing some of the similarities that exist between these stories, right? Such unique sightings of unbelievable little creatures, but many of them share common details. It makes you wonder. If you thought goblin sightings were rare, well, they are. But there's more than you'd think, and probably even more than we know, because people aren't usually very forthcoming with these types of experiences, for fear of disbelief or ridicule. Goblins are amongst us, so yes, there could be one around at this very moment. Did you hear that? It's probably nothing. If you are still scratching your goblin itch, I do have two other videos at this point, firsthand goblin experiences. So check those out if you'd like to hear more. But for now, that's all I have. Thank you so much for joining me tonight, and I'll see you all next time.